Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She grew up on Virginia's rustic eastern shore, on her family's farm, where she was surrounded by nature and all the inspiration that nature provides. In 1984, she set out to study fine arts at the University of Pennsylvania, where she took her bachelor's and master's degrees and trained rigorously as a fine arts painter. It was there that she made her first mosaic design, a mural of Eve in the Garden of Eden. When she returned to the Eastern Shore in 1990, the thought of a mosaic company was just a pipe dream. She took a chance and launched a small cottage industry with a handful of local artisans. 20 years later, her company now employs more than 130 people and spans three city blocks in historic Exmoor, Virginia, and leads the nation in designing and manufacturing custom mosaics in stone and glass with materials imported from across Eurasia and the Americas. She still lives on the Eastern Shore and stays close to the family and the land that brought her so much. She also stays quite busy, making the world more beautiful. Sarah Baldwin, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Hi, James. It's a pleasure to be here.
So happy to have you with us today. And I'm just curious as can be to hear about your story and all about you. So take us back. A young girl fell in love with art, it sounds like, initially. What was the journey like after that?
Absolutely. Well, I definitely fell in love with art, but also with making things in my childhood. My dad was, he might have been a mild-mannered insurance principal during the day, but during the weekends, it was like we were auditioning for a season of Survivor. It was like the Swiss Family Robinson. I mean, we cut down trees to make split oak baskets. We made knives, and we picked bayberries and made candles, and we chopped firewood, and we built a solar-heated house. This was in the 70s.
And we being you and your dad, or were there other players involved?
Oh, sure. My sister, my brother, my dad, and I. I did the transit work for this house, and I was 11.
Wow.
My dad built a sailboat on the porch, and he had to take the porch apart because the boat didn't fit through the door. Mom was creative, too. I mean, she taught us to design and to sew the dresses that we wanted when we couldn't find them. She planted a formal flower garden one year, which it proved to me how creative flowers can be. I mean, and this seemed like a much more justifiable project than the enormous vegetable garden that my dad insisted that we try to tame almost every day. And that was kind of my first experience with form versus function. Apparently, I preferred form.
A rude awakening.
I know. But my mom, I mean, my goodness, she was amazing. I mean, when we couldn't afford new cabinets, she painted our entire kitchen Kelly green with black floors. I think that she even painted the refrigerator. It was something. I mean, we still laugh about it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to observe that it sounds like an incredibly free and creative environment for young person to grow up in. Was that the experience?
It absolutely was. It was free and creative and also exhausting. I mean, there was a lot of hard work involved, but my father always said, "No child of mine is going to be afraid of hard work."
Mission accomplished, Dad.
Exactly. I think the most important thing that my parents taught us was that if we wanted something, we could somehow make it or acquire it if we were just creative enough. And they also taught us to be fearless about failing. So this is probably why my sister and my brother and I are all entrepreneurs. And I think that being an entrepreneur is really similar to being a product designer. You know, you're creating in both cases, right?
Right. And you're probably failing occasionally in both cases.
Yep. Fail often. I mean, that's like from the cover of Inc. magazine. I mean, I think they were eavesdropping on us when we were kids. Like that boat my dad made, you know, it didn't sail very well. But I remember I was having an identity crisis during the early years of my business because I'd been trained in graduate school to be a painter. And here I was like a lowly craftsperson. You know, we used to stick our noses up at like, oh, the craftspeople, you know, we're artists. But it wasn't until I realized that a business is a creation too, that I grew out of it. And, you know, it's a creation that can be much bigger than one person, which is really awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a few more than just one floating around in your business these days.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, just organically. I mean, really? We started with my sister joined me in Virginia after I realized that I was onto something. And she helped me out for about a year and a half. And we hired our first employees to make samples for the first showrooms that decided they wanted to be dealers. And it just grew after that, you know, certain percentage every year.
Let's take a couple of steps back because I'm really curious. Eve in the Garden was the first mosaic. Is that correct? And that was a student project?
It was. It was what I displayed as my master's thesis at the show at the end of my graduate degree.
And as a painter, why a mosaic? I'm curious.
So I became kind of disenchanted with the emotional and intellectual interaction that you have with a piece of art on the wall. I'm not sure why. I don't feel like that now. But at the time, I just wasn't that interested in it anymore. And probably because of my childhood, because I'd been taught the value of functional objects and, you know, that we can make them. So one day I went to New York in graduate school and I looked down and there on the floor of the mat was this incredible mosaic. It was from the 4th century. And I thought to myself, why doesn't anybody make these anymore? And it's kind of like when you're in a forest and you're wandering around and, you know, all of a sudden you see a path and you think, wow, I wonder what would happen if I went down that path. And in this case, you know, I did, you know, I went down the path and this is what happened.
Any regrets?
No, not at all.
I love that answer. Love that answer. So there you are. Fresh out of school, working with your sister, what were those early days like? What were the biggest challenges that you faced and what were the greatest victories, let's say, in that first year?
I was really lucky because financial challenges were the biggest ones, but I won a prize in the first couple of years that we were in business. I won $25,000. It was a new business contest and I got the grand prize. And it was one of those typical contests where, you know, you write it at the last minute and somehow you get it in on time and then, you know, somehow you win the prize. And they basically financed my first catalog and my first fax machine. I used to use my dad's fax machine at his office 15 minutes away. You know, one of our customers in New York, Shelly Tiles, said, how about you ask your dad for a fax machine for Christmas? So the biggest challenges were probably financial in the very beginning, but some of those challenges were ameliorated when I won the money.
Right.
It was a big relief.
And as time went by, what were the challenges looking like, let's say, at year 10? Do you have anything that vivid and that specific?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest challenge today is continuing to establish the systems and processes in a manufacturing company that ensure a quality product and that it's delivered in a reasonable time frame.
So it sounds to me like you're describing the recipe for making the things that you're making. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what are the steps? You do A, B, C, and D, you're going to get X.
Exactly. Right? Because I have a team of R&D employees who are like, you know, creators of magic potion. You know, they're fantastic. And we come up with a product and then we hand it off to the production team and the operations team and we say, okay, here's your product. But, you know, here are the work instructions. This is how you need to make the product. This is the, these are the tools that you use to make the product. And this is what it needs to look like when it is done. And these are the tolerances that you have to adhere to when you're making the product. And it's the translation from the, we call our R&D team the design center, from the design center to, you know, the production team is, it's not a flawless, seamless transition sometimes. So we keep on learning. I try not to make the same mistake twice, but, you know, hope springs eternal.
Good for you if you can make that happen.
Exactly.
So it must be sort of like that childhood game. What do they call it? When where you whisper something into the person's ear next to you and it makes its way around the circle?
Telephone.
Telephone. There you go. Thank you. Must be something like telephone where you set out with an intention and you communicate it and then maybe yes and maybe no when it gets to the end of the process, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. You cross your fingers and pray to God that, you know, by the time it gets to the end, it's the same. It's exactly what you intended.
Right. Okay. Wow. A day in the life of Sarah, right? Well, so when you think, Sarah, about the business as it sits today and the journey that you've been on up to this point, and we pray will continue to be on for many years ahead, what's the thing that you love the most about the work that you get to do?
Well, I love working with the R&D team because, you know, everybody at New Ravenna is creative in some way because they're all contributing to the entity that is New Ravenna. And without all the people, you know, New Ravenna couldn't exist. It couldn't make all of the things that we're making. But the creative team, they're just so much fun. I mean, it's not dull. And I'm a sucker for being entertained. In particular, right now, we're working on the murals and a frieze for an old Art Deco movie theater that we're turning into a showroom on the Eastern Shore of Virginia and in Exmoor on our little campus of buildings. And the front of this movie theater, oh my gosh, it looks so decrepit right now. But we have plans. And my lead designer, C.N. Erminger, has designed these Art Deco decorative elements that are mosaics that will adorn the exterior of this old movie theater. And they're just awesome. It's all the flora and it celebrates all the flora and fauna of the Eastern Shore, you know, and they're all done in a deco style. So they're deco geese and they're deco deer and they're deco cormorants and deco pine trees. And it's going to be awesome when it's completely finished.
Will we see photos on the website when it's all said and done?
Absolutely.
Cool. We'll post a link to that in the show notes section, folks. Check it out. Follow the work that Sarah's doing. It's all good stuff. Biggest challenge, Sarah? Biggest challenge in the work that you do every day?
Well, up until recently, the biggest challenge was all of the business administration. The spreadsheet analysis, the, you know, HR, the hiring and firing, the you try to delegate all of this. And, you know, until recently, I'd only been successful in fits and starts. But now I have a CEO and a COO that take care of the operations. So I only have to worry about the creative. So I only have to worry about being the creative director, which is a a huge load off of my shoulders. And it means that that part of the challenge is resolved for me.
A dream job, it sounds like.
Yes, it is. It really is. I'm so blessed.
Congratulations. That's great. Talk to our listeners at home for a moment, Sarah. They may not be involved in creating mosaics. They may not even be artists, but they are curious to create more beauty in their own home. Any thoughts or ideas that might help them on that journey, Sarah?
Oh, gosh. I think there are two reasons why we want to create beauty in our own homes. I think that the first reason is for yourself. You want more respite. You know, you want a sanctuary. And, okay, I'm projecting. That's what I want. And, you know, in order to achieve that sort of an atmosphere, you know, I would recommend that, you know, less is more. And that's really basic advice. But I think one of the other reasons why people want to decorate their homes is because, you know, they want people to come over and they want it to be a reflection of themselves. And, you know, they put off having dinner parties sometimes because, wait, you know, I haven't done this to my house. And, you know, we have a tendency to be really insecure about our spaces sometimes. For that reason, I mean, I've done it myself. And my advice to those people is like, oh my God, you know, don't be so worried about what the space is going to look like. I mean, the spirit of hospitality in your home is so much more important than whether the carpet matches the throw pillows. I mean, I can't encourage people enough to just like do it, entertain, you know, have people over. Like, you're not going to be able to see the furniture if enough people are in your house. Mm-hmm.
Very true, very wise, and for some people, a bit of a challenge, but a good challenge. And we hope that they take good notes today and rise to that challenge. Thanks for those encouraging words, Sarah. Have you applied those bits of wisdom in the place that you call home, Sarah?
I try.
Honest answer. I like that.
Seriously, I do. I mean, my mom was a good example. She had lots of dinner parties in a house that was really shabby around the edges and had a Kelly Green kitchen, and everybody loved them. So I would just encourage people to not be so uptight about their decorating, even though, like, these are my people. Like, if you want to change your bathroom floor, oh my God, of course you should be concerned about that.
But at the same time, get over it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Don't invite somebody to your house because you're worried about your bathroom floor. Absolutely not.
Not a thing to do. So what room in your house do you worry about least and enjoy the most, Sarah?
Oh, it took me 2 years to get there, but I moved into this house that I built and I didn't have a backsplash, and I'm supposed to be an expert on backsplashes, you know. And for 2 years, I couldn't figure out what to do for my backsplash and in my kitchen. And I have a great room. So the kitchen's at one end and the living room's at the other. And, you know, so it was completely unfinished. I finally figured out that in the kitchen, I wanted to bring the outside in. There are a huge bank of glass doors on the bay side of the house because it looks over the Chesapeake Bay over a beach. And I had already installed a Blue Mecca Ubis countertop on the island, which looks like a tidal pool. It's really beautiful. But for the backsplash, you know, I finally settled on a mosaic that was inspired by a Japanese woodblock print that my friend James Duncan had encouraged us to develop. It's called Ikebana, and it's in our palette of a million different designs that we offer. And so we created this mosaic backsplash that has kind of a pine needle motif, which echoes the pine trees that are outside of the house, and I've never regretted it. I couldn't be more happy. So
it was worth the 2 year wait then.
It was worth the 2 year wait, and my happiest experiences in the house now are when my friends come and cook in my kitchen.
Ah, nice. Very, very nice. So what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Clara?
Probably a 7-foot tall wooden horse that I named Pablo.
Okay. Tell us the story, please.
Okay. So I got Pablo in Mexico when my friend Paul Schatz turned 60. When he turned 60, somehow 40 of his friends decided that they would fly themselves to San Miguel to celebrate his birthday. I mean, can you imagine that? 40 of your friends just picking up and going to some exotic locale with you because you're turning 60. I mean, that's a testament to the man's character. He's just a doll. So when I saw this incredible wooden horse for sale on the side of the road, I bought it and I named it Pablo after Paul.
Got it. And how did said horse get from Mexico to you on the Virginia coast? That's the part that fascinates me.
It was a little traumatic. Pablo was placed sideways on a pallet and shipped in a truck. And when he got here, we had to do triage. He'd lost one of his hooves, but we glued it back on. And he's proudly standing in my hallway now. And I love him. He's got a lot of character.
It sounds like it, and a great story. Thanks for sharing that. Let's do a what if. What if, Sarah, you could hang out for an hour or so with a style or design hero of yours, someone whose work has inspired, influenced you. Maybe it's an artist, now that we think about it. I'll leave that wide open to you. You've got an hour to spend with them. They might be living. They might be deceased. Who would you pick, and tell us why?
I would pick Leonardo da Vinci. I don't know if anyone else has ever chosen that on your show before, but my goodness, the man was such a genius. I mean, of course his painting was amazing, but it was his out-of-the-box thinking that I admire the most. It was like he was an alien in his time. Yeah. I mean, he must have been incredibly entertaining and inspiring, and the man was not afraid to dream.
Understatement of the year. Understatement of the year. Good pick. We like that. Definite out-of-the-box thinking there. What's the best style or design advice that you've ever come across, Sarah?
I don't know. I think it's what we went over earlier. I think that my best style or design advice is the combo of, like, don't sweat it and edit, you know? You don't need that much stuff.
Less is more.
It's what we were talking about before. You know, A, don't sweat it, and B, you don't need as much stuff as you think you do.
A good place to start. And as you point out, maybe you don't need a whole lot more than that. I like that. I do. Let's do a hypothetical for a moment, Sarah. We pray it never happens. If there were a fire at the house tonight, family, loved ones, animals, they're all safe. What's the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
Probably nothing. I mean, I don't think anything's worth running back into a burning building to retrieve. But, I mean, if you held a gun to my head, I might run in and try to get Pablo, the horse.
Okay. We like Pablo, so that might be. Get a few friends, you know, but also don't risk too much.
Yeah, Pablo probably isn't movable by one person.
No, doesn't sound like it.
Maybe with a lot of adrenaline.
Are you a book lover, Sarah?
Yeah.
Do you have a book recommendation that you would give to our listeners? Something that you think should be on the bookshelf of every style and design lover who's listening?
Yes. I remember years ago, Holly Hunt was interviewed and asked the same question. And she recommended a book called A Soldier of the Great War. A Soldier of the Great War. It's about a professor of aesthetics and his journey through World War One, up through the 60s. And I bought that book and I read it, and it's just magical. It's a novel, it's a magnificent. And anyone who's a designer should relate to the themes that he relates, which are, they're transcendent, and they're all about the beauty of the world despite destruction.
Wow. A Soldier of the Great War. Not familiar with that one, but you know where I'm going to be this weekend, at my favorite local bookstore. Searching that one out. Thanks for that recommendation, Sarah. We'll find a link, or we'll find information on that book. We'll post a link to it in the show notes section, so that our listeners can click on that and add it to their library. Something tells me you'll have a lot of gratitude coming your way for that recommendation. Thank you, Sarah.
Sure thing. It's by an author named Mark Helprin.
Mark Helprin. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. Love a new book. Love a new book. Sarah, that brings us down to the very last question. You ready for this one?
Sure thing.
Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Wow. So that is a really interesting question. I think, first of all, that I would be interested in meeting people in the community and trying to make some friends, because a world without furnishings is unfortunate, but a world without friends is completely devastating. So I would be really interested in making some inroads into the community and figuring out who I relate to and, you know, how I can be part of this new community that I'd found myself in. But second of all, I would probably head to, you know, the Restore store that Habitat has and look for something to put on the floor, you know, a rug, some pillows. Years ago, I went to Abu Dhabi. I was lucky enough to spend some time with the Minister of Culture and Heritage there. His name was Muhammad Al Khalif. And he entertained us in his home and in the tent that was outside of his home that served as a gathering place for the local community. And what impressed me the most about the experience in those places is how little furniture they actually have. You know, when it all comes down to it, like, what do you really, really need? You know, we sat on the floor on some rugs. There were some pillows. You know, a dinner table might be a piece of plywood with a tablecloth on it. And so I guess my question is, you know, how much do we really need? I could get by with that. I mean, I appreciate the fabulous things in my house. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if I'm in a new place, I think that my psychological needs are going to be more pressing than my physical needs.
Sarah, I love that answer. I love the focused nature of that answer, focused on the things that are really most important. Thanks for that.
Sure thing. I just want to put a plug in for Made in America, for local manufacturing. What some people don't realize is when they choose to buy our products, some of the payment that they make stays in their local community with their dealers, but some of the payment ends up here in Exmoor as opposed to being sent overseas. And it's enriching to our community when someone actually makes that decision. And, you know, it reduces the trade deficit. So
a small gesture that has big ramifications.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Great getting to speak with you today. We want to say thank you to our subscribers who've tuned into the show today. None of this means anything without you, so thanks for supporting the show by tuning in, sharing news about the show with your friends, and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Sarah's website so you can follow all the amazing things that she and her company are doing, putting beauty out into the world. We'll also post a link to the book recommendation she gave us, A Soldier of the Great War. It's on my must-read list as after hearing about it from Sarah. I hope you'll put it on yours. Click on the link in the show notes. Add it to your library. Could not be simpler. While you're on our site, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful. Join the thousands of designers, retailers, and interior enthusiasts who are using RoomStyler platform to create 3D photorealistic renders easily viewed on any device. Go to RoomStyler.com today.